If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56steve.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
I am Steve.
He is Steve. How about that, Steve? I got a song with your name in it.
That is amazing. I love that. I want to use that.
Well, be my guest. It's.
I will. I mean, this is the most amazing day of my life. You know, I talked to Liz Calloway's coming to town. And on Sunday afternoon, I had her on my Sunday afternoon show. Yeah. And the reason why I had her on is because she's an amazing artist, Tony Award, a Grammy Award winner, all that. But also the name of the show she's doing in town is in fact called A Salute to Steve. And I thought, oh my gosh, I've got to have her on. I mean, she's saluting me. It turns out it's Stephen Sondheim, but that's okay.
Yeah. Yes, probably more appropriate, Stephen Sondheim. But you do, deserve your own cabaret act salute, right? Oh, wait a minute. Hey, listen, before we get into, you know, I didn't know that you were, why I never picked up on this, I didn't know that you were friends with Loretta Swift.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say we're friends, but I had her on the radio.
Okay, yeah.
Several times, yeah. And clearly, she told me, I asked her the last time we talked, which was, I don't know, a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
I more or less asked her, what do you want to be remembered for? And it's tough when you talk to someone who at that point in time, she was well into her 80s. And, you know, it's one of those questions that, okay, do you ask that question? Don't you ask that question? You've been there, you know? And I did ask, and she said, yeah, I understand. I will be remembered, and I'm grateful. And these are my words, but they're close to her words. I'm grateful for the opportunity I had to play Hot Lips, Houlihan, and MASH, and that the character got to evolve over the years. And I'm proud of the work I've done on stage. However, Actors and Others for Animals and the other animal activism work that I've done, some of it in my own name, that is what I'm really proud of. And in fact, I will tell you, I was trying to get her to go to a benefit for anti-cruelty here last year, and for a variety of reasons, it just didn't work out timing-wise, but she would have done it, you know, and of course, I wish she would have, and I had never met her in person. Now, Betty White, I knew better, and oh my gosh, I mean, I would see her at an event, and I mean, she was fine to talk about the Golden Girls or Mary Tyler Moore Show or any of that, but what she loved, I remember at one event, we sat down and for like a half hour, we talked about feline leukemia. She was so knowledgeable. I mean, she had served on the board of the Morris Animal Foundation for many, many years, and she really knew her stuff. And she told me, you know what? I wish I had gone into zookeeping. I love what I do. And she said, you know, I'm glad I make the money I do because then I make it so I can help animals.
Yeah, yeah. Steve Dale is with us. I'm going to take a break right now so we can like fill up the next portion with the things that you have brought to talk about.
Sure.
That sound sure. Okay? All right. Coming back with Steve on 720 WGN. And now, more from Steve Dale, animal expert extraordinaire at WGN Radio. We return now to this broadcast and already in progress. Thank you, Steve.
Oh, my goodness.
You're so easy, you know, that it's just like, yeah, okay, well, just, you know, a little different. Oh, no. Bookie check. Oh, that was, well, after that big buildup, what happens? a phone disconnect. That's the way it is, you know, sometimes. Sometimes, when you attempt to talk to Steve Dale, and you're in the middle of a very fine conversation, things beyond your control manifest themselves telephonically. Have we returned to the... There he is. I heard him gurgle. Yes, Steve.
You blew away the phone system.
I must have. I overloaded it somehow.
I'll tell you, with an introduction like that, even the telephone company didn't know, didn't have any. It blew the phone lines.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that happens to be the opening theme from a. Never mind. Let's go to what you want to talk about. What do you?
That's
want to
talk? This is. I don't know anymore. So right now,
yes.
In the world of dog training,
okay.
There is a revolution happening of sorts.
No kidding.
I wouldn't kid.
Okay.
So this should be on CNN. It should be on Fox News. It should be on News Nation. Should be covering this.
But
they're not. You know. So dog trainers gradually over the course of the past 15 years have changed their methods in general to more positive reinforcement training. However, in the recent past, I don't know, 5 years or so, a number of trainers increasingly online say, hey, look what I can do. All following Cesar Millan, really, the dog whisperer who is greatly responsible in part anyway for all this, of saying, if I use a shock collar I shock the dog, I can get the dog to comply. And in
fact, I'm not doing that. I tried that once, and that was it. Never again. It took one shot.
Good for you.
And I'm like, I am out of here. See you later. No way.
Why do you say that?
The dog was frightened and came running and hid underneath my legs under the chair. And I'm like, dude, I mean, I didn't realize it was going to be so severe because I had heard, oh, this is great. You know, I had some people that I knew that had used it and I'm not a chance, not a chance. I don't even care. I don't care if it does work. I'm finding a different way. Sorry. You know,
good for you. And in fact, there are different ways. There are better ways, but you know, increasingly, sadly, trainers are doing this. They get responses that way on social media, and it seems as though, and it might be that the dog complies, but the fallout, which happens sometimes immediately, sometimes later, is inevitable. There's physical harm and definitely psychological harm done to these dogs.
You bet.
So what had happened is the Certification Council for Professional Dog Trainers has been saying for some time, we want to have standards, best standards for dog trainers, and we want to license dog trainers, something in theory I'm all about. However, then they said, when you read the details, that it's okay to use shock collars or prong collars, which is something those cartoon dogs wear, or the chain link choke collars. And I'm not okay with any of that, and I'm not alone. So a variety of organizations that initially stood with this group then pulled away. Victoria Stillwell Academy for Dog Training, Karen Pryor Academy, Gene Donaldson Academy for Dog Trainers, all of these other organizations, which people know in the industry, said, no, we don't want any of that because that brings dog training back 30 years or 40 years. And indeed it does. It's as you point out, it's not right. We do know this. Scientific studies from all over the planet have shown over and over again the harm that is done, particularly with shock collars. I have not seen a study, one study that demonstrates this is beneficial. We also know more than 30 years ago, we understand how dogs learn, which incidentally is the same way human beings learn. And also we know about behavior modification. For dogs that do have issues, like they happen to be aggressive dogs, and people say, a shock collar, that's the only way to save this dog's life so it's not euthanized. No, not anymore. There are other things we can do, including psychopharmaceuticals. But then I get pushback from people saying, I don't want to drug my dog. Well, a couple things about that. First of all, a veterinary behaviorist or a veterinarian understands how to do it and knows that the basic premise is that no person or no dog can learn when panicked. And when fear or panic overrides everything, it is impossible to learn. So what the drug does is it just adjusts the brain chemistry so the dog is no longer panicked.
And now, have I heard of that before? Oh, that was right. Human beings.
Right. Yes.
Hello.
Yep. Absolutely true. Yeah. Absolutely true. We, you know, our brains work essentially the same way as a dog. Right. Me in particular, you can tell because I lick in places where I shouldn't really. So we definitely aren't too different than dogs. We are all mammals. We all learn the same way. And we now understand how that works. And the people that also push back about those psychopharmaceuticals, the percent of population in America that uses some sort of psychopharmaceutical, right, wrong, or otherwise, it's hovering at around half the people, adults. It's about 50%. So those very people are saying, I take drugs, but I don't want to drug my dog. I don't get what that's all about either. All I know is we know better and more humane ways to do things at a very basic level. If dogs are our best friends, and they are, why the heck would we do this to our dogs when we really don't need to do it?
All right. Shall we move to a different topic that you would care to touch on?
Oh, sure. I'm happy to do that. So,
how about these Asian longhorn ticks?
Oh, you know, there is more tick disease right now in America than there ever has been. Mm-hmm. And dogs are susceptible. Now, the good news is we can actually do more to protect our dogs than we can ourselves if you talk to your veterinarian, because these products work. So the kind of tick you just mentioned, the Asian longhorn tick, sounds pretty exotic. It is. Mm-hmm. The good news is they are not yet in the Midwest, but they're marching that way. And unlike other ticks where you're walking in the woods and the tick may kind of, they don't really jump off from the leaf, but that's kind of what they do.
Right.
Here, these ticks work in mass. So you could have, instead of one or two ticks on you, just by walking by a bush, you can have 50 ticks on you. And these ticks, like other ticks, spread disease to people and to dogs, including Lyme. The big culprit for Lyme disease are the deer ticks. And those ticks are increasing in number where we live for a variety of different reasons. So please protect your dog against ticks and tick disease. Not only is it Lyme disease that we are so familiar with, but there are a whole host of diseases. And what the Ehrlichia, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, Babesia, they don't sound good, and they're not. And some ticks, even they're not happy with giving us just one pathogen or giving one pathogen to your dog. They want to give your dog a cocktail. So the dog may get two or three tick diseases if not protected. I can't stress enough that tick protection really does work, but you have to use it. And
right.
And it's great because, as I said, we can do a lot to protect our dogs. We can't quite do as much to protect ourselves.
Are we talking about a tick collar? Is that one of the effective methods?
Yeah, it can be if it's the right tick collar. So many of the tick collars that are sold over the counter. So here's what happens.
Okay.
People, I'm glad you asked that question, because people go into a superstore, a pet store, and they say, this product must be good because it says it's all natural. This product must be good because I have a Cocker Spaniel, and there happens to be a Cocker Spaniel photograph on the product itself. This product must be good because it's on sale for 25%
yes,
off. How can
right.
that be bad?
Let's buy two.
Yeah. I understand all that. However, yeah. that is not how you choose a product to protect against fleas or ticks for our pets. Ask your veterinarian about the right product, because some of those products available over the counter just don't work very well. And if the kill is going to take for ticks too long, it gives the tick an opportunity to spread disease. For fleas, if the product takes care of even 90% of fleas, they will continue to populate. You know, what you need is a product that kills about 99% of fleas, really, to be effective. So the products that your veterinarian can recommend are the products that are going to work, and that is what matters. Otherwise, yeah, you're saving that 20% or whatever that's on sale, but you're still spending the 75% and wasting your money if the product doesn't work.
You know, we have to wrap this up now, and I think I'm going to wrap it up with a poem that I believe I saw in Mad Magazine or somewhere when I was about 7. And I believe it's true. They called it the shortest poem in the world by E.E. Cummings. And it's called Fleas. And it goes like this. Adam had 'em. And that's it.
You know, I've done many, many wacky segments with you, Mr. Landecker. This might be the wackiest ever. But especially with the theme music, I love that. Yeah, in fact, if you're going to do that, I will be back every night.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you. No, not really. I'm sure you don't want me back every night.
Hey, Steve, tell everybody how they can read your stuff and hear your stuff.
They can read my stuff at stevedale.tv, where, by the way, you can sign up for my newsletter as well. You can hear me Sunday mornings talking about pets on WGN. And Sunday afternoon, talking with a wide variety of people. This week, Sunday yes. afternoon, I have on a magician who might make your radio host disappear.
Well, we'll have to see if that works. All right, Steve, thanks
or
for
not.
Being with us. We'll all tune in. Talk
Thank
to you,
you
soon.
Sir.
Thank you very, very much.